Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That you'll be glorified this morning, that Lord, you will help us, you will give us grace. You will strengthen us. Help us to come into fresh baptisms. Help us to come into the place that is called strength. Thank you, Lord, because you are able, you are capable, and you are most excellent. And we thank you, Father, because none of the words you have spoken will fall to the ground without accomplishment. And we give you glory because you are God. Bless us this morning. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the heavens of heaven, and may your children be truly blessed by the words that come from your heart. In Jesus' name, if you believe, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Glory, glory be to God in the highest. Please take your seats in the presence of the Lord. And I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. And we are going to start our study by reading two verses. Hallelujah. Please let me preach to your neighbor and say, I can see that you are blessed. Now, if you are not convinced, look for another neighbor. Please preach to your neighbor and say, I can see that you are blessed. You know, many times, the last person to see the blessing is the recipient. Many times, the last person to see the blessing is the recipient. The moment Samuel turned back the other brothers of David and they requested that David should be brought, the other brothers already knew he was the one. Now, there's something about Samuel. The scripture says his words never fell to the ground, which means if Samuel is in your house, God has sent him. Samuel doesn't visit because he likes the inquiry that your wife normally prepares. Samuel doesn't do that. He doesn't come because he has missed you. Samuel doesn't visit. Pastor doesn't come because he misses you. If he comes, it means the Lord has sent him. So the brother himself, are you with me? The brother himself did not even know. You know, if they had told David that morning that the things you have perceived today will mark the beginning of that journey, David didn't see it coming. The same way God spoke to Joseph for so long about a promise, and at the time that prophecy was going to be fulfilled, Joseph did not even know. They just told him, the king wants to see you. They say you can interpret dreams. Listen to me, there's a season of remembrance that is coming upon you. And in order to protect you so that you don't start acting rubbish, God will not permit you to know ahead, so that you will be natural. It will just flow. You won't say, hey, I knew they were coming. No. That one is pride. The brother didn't know. And it seems to me that there is something about destiny and it having the ability to catch you unawares. You just know that God said. How many of you had certain things happen in your life only to remember that? It's like this thing. God told me about something like this 3 years ago. You see, you didn't have time to dress up for it. That is to tell you that God has chosen the day for your manifestation. He has chosen the season. He has chosen the mood you will be in. You can't over-prepare for God. You can do the basics, but you can't over-prepare for God because, listen, God has thought about everything and he saw that you passed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let us read verse 31 and 32. I'm going to be continuing from where we started off on Friday, because I don't know about you, but I need a lot of strength. You know, in this season, I need a lot of strength to do some of the things that the Lord would have me do. Now, I want us to look at the scriptures. If you have your screen in front of you, the scripture said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. The second Simon there is for emphasis. Because sometimes many of us are really not aware God is trying to talk to us.
Simon.
And many times, from our own part of the world here, when you hear someone, you're having a conversation, and he starts repeating your name, what is he trying to tell you? Keep quiet. Do you understand? Like, you are talking too much. Have you ever had that kind of conversation? Say, if the person is talking, he's just, Busayo. Busayo keeps talking, say, Busayo. Busayo. Be quiet. All those, everything you just said now, has nothing to do with what we're about to tell. Now, look at that scripture. He said, behold. You see, I like the way Jesus speaks. Because it's like, he's not really one of those people that seems to waste his words. He said, behold. What does it mean to behold? Huh? He said, look carefully. You are looking, but you are not seeing. Look carefully. You are everywhere and everywhere, but you are not seeing what is going on around you. Let me tell you something. One of the requirements for destiny, before you hit that point where the Lord commands the whole world to listen to you, is that you must have a very rare strand of humility. Because there is something about glory that makes you become blind to even yourself. When the Lord begins to bless you and honor you, you may quickly forget where he picked you from. Because at that level, nobody can correct you. They are playing with your future. Yeah? Nobody can correct you at the risk of losing their jobs. That's why you need to put yourself. You know, Rick Joyner put it this way. He said, you must wear a cloak of humility. Even when the glory is so much, temper it by participating in normal human activity. Please tell your neighbor, normal human activity. For instance, you may decide today, you want to go and watch Premiership. Not in your house, at the viewing center. Then you sit in front, you are shouting, shouting. Is that not Bishop? Man? Say, don't answer them, just be shouting. Or you being a prayer warrior that you are, you can decide to sit down with your wife and play a game of Ludo. And while you are playing, you are screaming. You are shouting. You are sure and wondering, what is wrong with this one? Or if you want to take it a step further, if you are married, you can decide to dance to a very nice song in your parlor and ignore your children and just have fun. Your problem. When you get married, you can do it. Like, this is my own wife. I've only got one. So sometimes you need to take stock of the things you have in your life that are only one, so that you can place value on them. Now, this is a serious matter here. Just look at your life. What are those things God has put in your life that you only have one of? Those are the things you should go and take care of, because Jesus taught us and he said, one thing is needful. So if God gives you only one of something, that thing is powerful. That means you can't do two of it. Inside that one, you have everything. Yeah, the only problem is that familiarity and commonization is what takes away the power of that thing in your life. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, he said, behold, Satan has become passionate. He has become emotional. He has become determined to have you so that he may sift you. I remember in those days while, you know, when I was young, we used to go to the farm a lot in the north. And we used to have this big, in those days when we harvest corn and rice, some of you have never been to a rice farm before. You know, there's a way we parboil it, we sift it, we do all those things. And it can be really stressful, but looking at it from afar is fun. Some of those women, for those of us in the Southwest, when we are processing cassava into garri, you see a lot of sifting that is going on. That is the way Satan brought his equipment into Peter's life. And sat down. And he began to sift. The equipment were there. All they were waiting for was permission to proceed. But even within the court of heaven, there are certain things that God cannot completely say no to. In the case of Peter, that trial could not be waived. For Satan, the trial was designed to present Peter as not qualified. Are you with me? Satan's plan was to use that trial to make Peter unqualified. And Jesus was about to die, which means if Jesus died without a successor, everything is over. Or which means Jesus would need to prolong his death. And in God's plan, that was the time for him to die. And you remember we had a similar situation in the days of the Israelites in the land of Egypt, where God had to extend by 30 years because Moses was not ready. The 30 years was because of a leader. Do you know how significant one man can be in your life? The Israelites were 5 million, but God needed one man. When you look at all these stories in the scripture, sometimes you need to ask yourself, why is this story in the Bible? Then look at the historical context. Why? How can one man be so significant to the deliverance of 5 million people? One man. And God said, okay, let them stay where they are for another 30 years. Not meanwhile, if they were intercessors, they would say, the Lord said he has done it. He has already done it. But you are still going to be here for 30 years. So there is the prophecy, there is the promise, there is the prophecy, and there is the man. The man, you, I'm talking about you, that must become a type of person that God himself is willing to say, this one is ready. So while Satan was planning to destroy the works of Jesus and his ministry, because he couldn't touch Jesus, he decided to look who among these people here seems to be significant. And then he itemized Judas and Peter. Let me tell you, whoever came out of that trial alive will be the next pastor. Most people don't see that possibility. Most people don't see that possibility that Peter could have been, Judas could have been Peter. That the senior pastor, the person who will stand on the day of Pentecost and say, this is that which was written, that in the last days the Lord will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and my sons, and the person making that statement didn't have to be Peter. It was either going to be between Peter. And when you see the kind of challenge and battles and spiritual warfare you're having to deal with, it is because of one of two things. Number one, Satan wants to discredit you. Number two, God wants to appoint you. But God will allow Satan to set the questions. He will allow Satan to choose the venue of the exam. He will allow Satan to set the rules. Have you been in an exam hall and you saw the questions and you saw 5 questions and then at the end of the day, the man, you know, you have the instructions before the questions. At the end of the instructions, you now see answer only 2 questions. If you are the one, will you see that last line? Will you see it? Yes or yes? Me, I won't see it. You see, there is a particular tension level that comes up, even if you're a very thorough person. You have read. The moment you see a long list of instructions, you know, like you become dizzy. You begin to feel uncomfortable. What? How many questions? Just 5. Why is the man writing out? You just probably read the first 2 or 3 lines. Right? You are looking for, is there a compulsory question or not? The moment you go through the first 3 or 4, I beg, you start answering. Only for you to realize question 5 is compulsory, then you pick any other 2. So, what is the man testing? It's not testing your knowledge of the questions. It is testing your patience and attention to detail. I spoke with one of my colleagues and he said, he had a question like this where the man said, wrote a long, and you know, there's something about having a question that has a lot of words, you know. So the man gave 2 questions in like question 1, just 1 question. But inside that question 1, no 1A, no 1B, the question 1 was 2 questions. So the man said, Cinderella is the, can you imagine? This is a PhD exam. Cinderella is the literature review of a research work. Now, explain this concept or this statement, stating the definition, the types, the stages, the purpose, the characteristics of literature. You know, that's a whole chapter of a book. He now said, or explain the process to selecting a research topic. You know, I told you that Satan is a master trickster. Don't expect him to be fair. But you see, there is one, there are two qualities that if you can develop early in your life, even when you are praying and it feels like you are not hearing God, you will never make a mistake. The first quality there is humility. Humility here, knowing that the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that what? He can lift you up in due time. Which means at every point in my journey, I have to constantly check that I am under the hand of God. To be under the mighty hand of God means I am under his government. To be under the government of God means that if the Lord wakes up this morning and says, turn your back on Moturayo, you will not blink, you will turn back. You see some people, despite the fact that they are committing a lot of sins, God seems to be okay with them. Because those people seem to have ticked off certain important boxes. You look at someone like David, and what did Saul do? Saul did not sleep with anybody's wife. David not only slept with somebody's wife, he killed his right-hand man. And God said, this is the man, I don't understand this, your God. Let me go and join the other religion and marry five wives. I said that this matter of humility is not about you trying to walk around looking beat up and discouraged. It's about you living your life in such a way that God knows, you know, heaven knows, Satan knows, that you are living under the hand of God, like this. You are directly under his hand. And whatever you are doing, you are not doing anything outside the coverage of that hand. It's like being under the feathers, under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, these things are very simple, but sometimes people just read the scripture, they don't ask why. The subject of humility is not about prostrating every time. If the Lord has said to you this morning, do not turn on the radio in your car for the next 1 week. It is not humility to say because you have your friend in your car, you just want to make him feel comfortable. No. The instruction was given to you, not to your friend. You have the burden of compliance. You have the right to tell your friend, sorry, I know you like listening to this week, we are not putting on the CD player, we are not turning on the radio. Because you are the one that will be examined. You are the one in the exam hall. And God will allow Satan set the questions. Choose the exam hall and watch your response. So when Jesus said, Satan has desire to have you, he was telling our brother, hello, you are already being examined. We are watching for your attitude. We are watching for your words. We are watching for your disposition. We are watching for your character. We are watching for your demeanor. We are watching for your response. Are you with me? Church, are you still here? You must know how Satan sets his exam. Now, you would find that even though Jesus was revealing it to Peter, he didn't tell him, but don't worry, you will not write that exam. I will send Michael to go there and just scatter the place. Who is Satan? Where did Jesus know that there was a demand for the, you know, it was a promotion exercise, like the one we do in at the civil service. When they want to promote you to director level, there's an exam, right, that they ask them to write. That was the exam Peter was coming for. He didn't know. Meanwhile, our brother, Piro, the moment they told him, he said, "Me, I left my business to follow you." Jesus, sometimes when you talk, I used to be like, maybe you don't really know me. Eh? I know you're anointed. You see, I will follow you. Do you know how many people have told me that same thing? I will follow it in my dying day. The cup I was drinking is still in my mouth. They've disappeared. Don't promise anybody anything. Just say, as long as God gives me the grace. Because you don't know yourself. Peter argued. Though the words will come to an end, I will not turn my back on him. See, you know why Jesus felt sorry for him? Because the brother doesn't know what is going on. Spiritually, he's blind. Anything that is happening on this side of reality, on this side of eternity, already happened in the spiritual realm, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. There are people that were already killed in the coven 6 months ago. And they are already, they are on earth, still going to market, going to buy bread, going to see Nkechi. Meanwhile, in the spirit realm, they were killed 6 months ago. So the timeline they are having now is just extra time. That's why you just find that some of those people, when they die, it happens quickly. Nobody could have done anything about it. They concluded the only way to have aborted that programming was to have seen it before it happened in the spiritual realm. And that is why, as long as you continue to think that this spiritual realm is the mother of the spiritual realm, you will be a victim. The spiritual realm is the mother, gives birth to the material realm, which means you can stop that thing from being produced, manufactured in the spiritual realm, and that is why God asks us to pray. And let me tell you this, when we, you know, because today I'm going to be talking about prayer. Speaking about prayer, one of the questions you may hear is, Pastor, I don't feel like praying, or sometimes I really don't know what to pray about. Listen to me. You don't need to have a prayer point. You don't even need to feel like it. You don't need to feel like you even have faith. Just open your mouth and pray in tongues. It's a divine technology God has given to us. Because if a man doesn't know what to pray for, then he has to depend on the Holy Spirit. And this whole feeling of, I don't know what to pray for, is the reason why many people are failing. Failing. I was saying to some... let me just... You know, sometimes if you don't know what God is doing, you will go online and be commenting on you'll be playing reserve for the devil's team. The quarrel between pastors and musicians. The quarrel. It's not a quarrel, actually. It's the pastor's fault. Whatever is going on is the pastor's fault. But it's not really the good pastors. There are many false shepherds amongst us. Do you hear people in Anglican church fighting over those things? The hymn is here. The organist is here. They don't bother about instrumentalists. We have one organist. In fact, in those days in our old church, the name of the organist would be on the envelope. The church organist. His name will be beside the reverend. That's how important the man is. Because there they build institutions, not personalities. So God wants to destroy some things. Because some false pastors rose up in our midst and started to prioritize rubbish. And we started celebrating. Some people became more popular than Jesus, even in Jesus' house. So God says, okay, who are the people responsible? Line up. Yes, yes. What up? Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many of you? 500. Okay. So God took some very popular names and allowed them to be dragged. So that you will know that it is God that lifts up and brings down. He allowed it. Now, this is a priority church. So I'm telling you, sir, before you go and start saying, and Jesus, you better just be buy your popcorn and be watching. Because you don't know what God is doing. The pastors that are shouting and dragging, after God is done with the artist, not minister, so artist, then the pastors are next. Are you hearing me? So this is a prophetic thing. So some may argue they are keepers, but it will come to just capture today's date down. So, you know, this is the real prophetic ministry. Because Ephesians says God set some in the church as prophets, apostles. So the ministry of the prophet is first in the church, not in government house. First in the church before externally. I said after this episode, when God is done, he will clean out all those things with Isaiah and with Omo. He will now face the pastors. Huh? You will hear a lot of things. There are some of the most powerful warlocks currently are pastors in the church. You go to America, you will see one of them, Lovie. His name is Lovie. He's a warlock. You will see Passion, Java. He's a warlock. You will see Hubert Angel. You will see all of them. They are in that category, all of them. They are warlocks. They are wizards. But they wear... So this one, I'm speaking from my office now. All right. Let's move on. Then after God is done with... Am I professing? Am I preaching? When God is done with the pastors, he will now face the congregation. So your own is coming. So the scripture says, judgment shall start in the house of the Lord. So I am saying all of this, not for you to be trigger happy, but for us to begin to self-assess, begin to assess yourself. All right. Our brother, I don't want to dwell too much on, please put up that scripture, because we'll continue to talk about Peter in this church. Now, my emphasis for coming to this scripture is not even about the test. But I don't... Did you get anything from that thing I said the other time? Yeah. Is this. This is where I was going. Because my emphasis today is on strength. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. So that what? Thy faith fail not. And when thou art what? Converted... strengthen your brothers. Now, leave this scripture here. There was a summoning over Peter's life. Peter did not know. Peter was not aware. What Peter was hearing was what Jesus told him. So, in today's world, what would have happened is that Peter could have been in his house praying. Or he could have come to church like this, and the pastor would start prophesying, for Satan has sought to sift you. Huh? In today's world, that's what would have happened. Alright? It could have been you praying with your friend, your prayer partner, and the word would just come out. Now, Peter is the next in line. Oh, can you imagine you praying with a senior pastor? You know, say, Kadish, for toss here the Lord, toss here the Lord. Satan wants to sift you. Ah. You look at the person that spoke. Dickie. So you've been after my position in this church. So you need humility to receive some things. And let me say this in passing. We are going to have a special prophetic school very soon. Very special one. But it's for those who purchase the book. So after we are done, we'll now release the thing to the whole world on YouTube. But that's an aside though. So you will still have access to it, don't worry. I don't even know why I said that. Well, because it's not supposed to be very private. You know? There is an evil I have seen among prophets or prophetic people, how that many are able to hear the Lord, see visions as it pertains to other people, but they are blind to themselves. Does that make sense? Have you had a dream about your friend before that came to pass and you didn't know what to do with your own life? So please remind me, because I want to bring that matter up at the prophetic school. So this one is my own office. This is my field. This is where I play.
So if I was among the X-Men, I would be like Professor Xavier, because that's where we are here. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. So the council of heaven could not stop Peter from entering the exam hall. In fact, it was approved that let's even know the character of the man we want to hand over the church to. Is that not so? And let him, if Jesus were to set the questions, he will make it very easy. You know, Jesus wants you to pass. He will make it easy for you. Say, do you love Jesus? Did you see the question Jesus asked Peter when he resurrected? Say, do you love me? That's the question. Very simple. What did Peter say? Say, yes. Now, if if passing the exam was dependent on what you ticked, did Peter pass? Okay, you don't understand. I said, if it's just circle the right answer. Peter, lovest thou me? Option A, yes. Option B, yes with all my heart. Option C, no. Then Peter ticked yes with all my heart. Did he pass?
Yes.
Question 2, there are only 3 questions in that exam, and all are compulsory. Question 2, Peter, it's a repetition. Lovest thou me? Have you been in an exam where they asked, a question was asked in the theory that they asked already asked in the objective? You didn't even remember anything. You just went to the yoga, and she went here. You opened it. Obey. Now, you just copied it, came back, and started answering. Now, let me give you another tip. Have you ever seen a question in the exam, question 15? They asked you about something. You were not really sure what the answer was. You now go to question 20. You now saw the answer. You now quickly went back to question 15. Corrected you. Have you seen that kind of... So, that's what we're doing here. You see, I always tell my children, the teacher is not out to make you fail. He's out to make you strong. Peter was asked only 3 questions in the exam hall, and he got the answer right. Except that knowledge many times may not be the true test of the state of your heart. Knowledge. That's where a lot of people know a lot about God. Yet, when they get angry, Songo is surprised. Like, who generated this lightning? I'm saying, say it's from Africa. Say, these people, they're always practicing witchcraft. Say, no, it's not witchcraft. Oh, it's brother, God's power that is angry. Yeah? Which kind of power is it? Say, it's not using power, it's just anger. My God. From today, be the God of thunder. Me, I'll be looking for someone. I want to rest. You take over. I said knowledge is not always the true strength of what? Of what? Of what? Of your heart. Because the third time Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? What happened to him? He became angry. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That was, this guy is not ready. He will kill all the members. After all we went through, this is the pastor. He says he's a prophet. He's always angry. He says prophets are always angry. He says lie. Prophets are not always angry. You are a bad child. You are a bad boy. You have bad character. That thing you hear that is a prophet, that is a lie. Wabruku, you have bad behavior. Mama, what's bad behavior in Igbo? Ajonwe. So you have heard it from the main source. Bad character. Oh, Niwa. You have no character. Put up that scripture. He said, I have prayed for you. What? What is the equation here we are looking at? The counsel of the Lord could only reveal the situation to his servant. God could not stop Peter from entering the exam. It was a council meeting. Something that was decided, that was necessary. And I'm telling you, all those prophecies you have heard me give you, many of those things you have heard on this altar, many times, just before you get there, there will be a test. And the test may have little or nothing to do with the role you have been interviewed for. It may be usually in the area of your character, a test of character. And look at the case of Peter. What was the test? No, the test with that woman. A test of declaration. Are you not one of his disciples? Now, brothers, let me ask a question. I've had this one. I don't know if you are Christian enough to have been asked that question, but let me ask you. Have you ever seen a nice girl? Eh? And when you just started chatting with her, you guys are really friends. Just say, are you a pastor? Are you a Christian? Oh, no. Let me ask the one that is popular. Are you married? Eh? Like, two of you are connecting. She just asks you. Dami would have had that one, because Dami is fine. you just sound like, this kind of guy cannot be single. You don't look bad. He's either a playboy or he's married. She will just ask you, wait, are you married? If anybody has, John is a righteous man, nobody will ask him that question. Who has been asked that question before? Now, they will not raise their hand. See? It's as sadiq as you are, you will not raise your hand. Listen to me. Agent Sadiq, listen to me. The moment that question is thrown at you, your real intention surfaces. Because the first that happens is that you are quiet for like 2 seconds. You are trying to process, how do I handle this question? Okay, for those of you that you may not be married, but you are in a serious relationship, the moment she just asks you, are you in a relationship? See the way the church is quiet. That's the way the brothers will be quiet. All the sons of Zebedee. That's how they'll be quiet. Because the girl just wants to know if I need to waste my time with you. I hope you know that if the girl is not interested in the future, she won't ask you that question. She'll just help you spend your money. But she just says, are you married? Or are you in a relationship? They say, Sadiq. The way you answered is suspicious. Then the way you even kept quiet is also suspicious. Anything you say will be used against you. Jesus could not stop Peter, and he knew that there was no way Peter would survive, because the questions will be thrown at Peter in the shadow of the night. When the questions will be thrown at him, he will be the only one in the exam hall. There will be nobody around Peter to encourage his righteousness. That's why I was asking you that. Have you been with a very nice girl? And she's just like, so are you married? You see those wicked women, those ladies, the way they will be doing, like a be cool, like a jet, as if they want you to lie. Say, so are you married? So are you married? Well, it's that straight now. Which one is, are you trying to encourage me to lie? Are you married? So Tony, are you married? I'm married. I'll be crying and tell you. In other words, like the spirit is really, but if I'll be crying and be telling you the truth. So I just want to know. So you'll be shaking. Can you stand straight? When Peter was standing by that fire in the thick, in the corner of darkness, and the lady recognized him, everything that would have encouraged his righteousness was not there. John was not there. James was not there. Jesus was not there. The only scrolls, no scroll was there. Just Peter. He could have done a quick one there. What's your name? Say Susie. I'm Piro. I'm Piro. She would have done that. and nobody would have known. Except that after he had done it from afar. You know, the other day they were telling him, he argued, he fought. He didn't know that the battle would come through a woman. Peter had never been alone with a woman before. That was not his wife. There was no way that thing would happen. I can't tell you, Messiah. Jesus knew. It was pointless to argue with Peter. So Jesus prayed. Any friend, any pastor, any spouse, your spouse, that remembers to pray for you, please keep that relationship. Because there are things you cannot avoid in life, but you can manage them with prayer. Nothing will stop Job from going through that trial for almost 1 year. But he kept talking to God, kept talking to God, kept talking to God until the affliction broke. Now, put up that scripture, the one we just read. Jesus said that the battle against Peter was a battle against his faith. And this may look very basic to you. But have you ever seen a man that no longer has faith in something? Have you ever worked with someone in an office, the owner of the business, and the business failed? And just days before then, you came into the office, you saw him looking dejected. You know that this thing going on in this company has affected this man. Huh? Have you ever worked with who has ever worked in a company that folded while you were there? Huh? Okay. You see the mood around you. Everybody knows something is going on. Sometimes you know that somebody stole money, ran away. Something happened where you lost a major client. You can see it on the face. And that is a test that God has permitted Satan to set, invigilate, and God will only come to supervise. So what did Jesus do? He started praying. That means as at the day that thing happened, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he had already prayed about that matter. May the heavens not be silent over you. I prophesy and I pray for you again. May the heavens not be silent over you. May God always have something to say to you that will be timely and relevant. That amen is weak. He said, I prayed for you that your faith will fail not. Because the faith of Peter's faith in God was not just for himself. It was for his brothers, the 12 disciples. It will be for the first church, the early church. That faith, we keep pointing to it in the 21st century. Everything we are looking at now depends not only on Jesus, but on Peter. Are you with me? Hey, are you here? That one man's obedience can become the beginning of generational blessings in a family. That God will say, oh, because of your father, I will not take away my blessing from this family. Is that not what he said to Solomon?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because of Abraham, he said Israel will always be blessed, yes, regardless of their disobedience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't know how significant your... Did Abraham know that his obedience will lead to generational blessing? Did David know? David was just following God. Your current strength will look like child's play. Let me give you an example. Do you know that research, shows that many of the students who do well in WAEC struggle in their first year university. They say they have a key notebook. Let's test him. What do you say, brethren? Let's test. The boy came, straight A's. So what are his studies? Say medicine. The way he even tells you before you ask. The boy doesn't know that. You cannot claim to be studying mercy until you reach 300 level, 400 level. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know life. He goes to physics class. The first thing they tell him is that all those things they told you in from SS1 to SS3, throw them away. How many of you, please, those of us in sciences, there were so many things they told us that they now told us was wrong. When we got to university, they said, this one, throw it away. This one, say. And those are the things you wrote to score your A. So you are sufficient, you are good enough. But if you now come into the new level, claiming that Newton's law is, God, you are failed. Why you are in primary school? Yes, primary school. They only ask you to state, list, mention. When you get to SS3, SS1, SS2, they expect you to define, differentiate, describe with examples. What would have gotten you 100 marks will give you 40. Because you did not demonstrate enough capacity. You were not able to describe to us how you understand what you have told us. My professor said to me, he said, if I say your exam will be 4 questions, you will be required to answer 3. There will be no compulsory questions. He said, 1 question, I will expect you to spend 1 hour on it. Say the exam will be for 3 hours. Say each question we have the parent, the child, and the grandchild. So, you, when I ask you to define what research is, please don't define. Because that question is 4 pages. That question define is 4 pages. Hi. They're using diagrammatic, diagrammic presentation, representation. Explain to me the Taro Yamani formula. When they ask you those things, you now say, "Shebi, I cram the formula." That's how your future will be looking at you. Because per every level, the expectation will change. The standard is raised. So, without understanding, you say, this thing I want to do right now, what is the real requirement? If you don't know what the requirement is, you just go in like a primary 5 pupil and fail. Jesus knew that the requirement, what Peter would need in this season, was strength. He knew. All this arguing with Jesus, you will not need it. Say, Master, you will not die. You will not die. You will live to declare. I need to die. I need to be crucified. Just because I praised you for giving a good prophecy doesn't mean you have the right to question me. I will die. Under 5 minutes, the man prophesied and fought with Jesus. Come on, are you here? Jesus knew that the requirement for what Peter was called into will require strength. And we need strength. That's why when we come in second service, we are going to pray. We need strength. Listen, so it's not that you are not good enough. Your battery level is low. This kind of work, you cannot do it with, I better pass my neighbor. You need a mechano, diesel gen. This destiny that God is showing to you, you can't fulfill it at your level. The way you are thinking, you can't do it. Do you know what it takes to be a Donald Trump, and you fight with everybody and you are not moved? You know what it means to go against everybody and not care and you are sleeping? It takes a kind of knowledge, a kind of strength. Do you know what it means to be a Joseph? Every problem you had in your life was because of the prophecy. If he didn't have that dream, nobody will kill him, nobody will sell him. But God allowed Satan set the questions, choose the example for Joseph. And everything eventually took him to where God wanted.
Don't worry about Satan. You just make sure you pass. And don't forget that the exam is not really about your knowledge. It's about your attitude. It's about your character. So it's not the right or wrong question or answer. It's more about your body language, your posture. It's about when everything... please, let me get on that keyboard. It's about when everything, all the formulas are not formulating. All the things you preach to people about, you use them, they did not work as a pastor. Then you now have to stand before God with your guitar, like David. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. You have gotten to a point, the formula is not formulating. So when you stand before God, it's not about shabatakata, it's abataya, and like that. You have tried that. You have been hit against the wall. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Sing his praises forever and forget not his benefit. Bless his holy name. Sing his praises forever and forget not his benefit. I will not forget, Lord, your benefit. I will not forget, Lord, your benefit. Your glory's awesome, your glory is great. Your glory's awesome. Your glory is great. I will not forget, Lord. I will not forget, Lord. Your benefit. I will not forget, Lord. Your benefit. I will not forget your benefit. I will not forget your benefit. I will not forget, Lord, your benefit. Your glory is awesome. Your glory is great. Your glory is awesome. Your glory is great. Bless his holy name. Sing his praises forever. And forget not your benefit. Bless his holy name. Sing his praises forever. And forget not his benefit. I will not forget, Lord. Your benefit. I will not forget, Lord. Oh, your
Shale Maraba Shalada. I will not forget, Lord.
I will not forget,
Lord. Your benefit.
Ale
Maye Garana de Velezola.
I will not forget,
Lord. Your benefit.
I will not forget, Lord.
Listen, one of the greatest and solid and sure weapons for pressing into the strength of God is the worship of God. One of the most solid, sure ways to move from weakness into strength is to begin to worship Him. When He becomes the center, when He becomes the object, when you are no longer worshiping Him because you want Him to answer your prayer, when you are just standing there and you are saying, Lord, even if you don't answer me, I will magnify you, I will bless you while I live, because the dead cannot praise you, and while I have breath in me, I will bless you. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall forever be in my mouth. I want you to sing your song to the Lord this morning and begin to bless Him, begin to worship 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 Him. Worship Him because He deserves it. Worship Him because He deserves it. Worship Him because He deserves it. Give Him glory. Your glory is